This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Craig Hoffman.
Why do Tuesdays always suck?
I think it's because it's the day after Monday.
Yeah, that Rachel saying that yesterday. She's like, it's just second Monday. If Monday doesn't get you, then Tuesday will.
Yep.
The Hoffman Show.
That's it. All future Tuesdays are canceled. We're not doing it. We're not coming to work. We're just going to automate everything. And none of you are going to work either. It doesn't matter to you. We're just not doing Tuesday anymore. You think that'll go over well with the bosses?
No.
On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
All right, it's the Hoffman Show. Final hour here on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app and, of course, on YouTube at the Team 980. Got a lot to get to before Clinton Yates joins us at 6:30. So let's hit it. It's time for the Pick 6.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is cool!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick 6 at 6.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level and build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right, of course, the headlines start with the quarterbacks.
Number one.
Jaden Daniels, Lamar Jackson. They are similar in a lot of ways. They're very different in some ways. And Dan Quinn was asked today about the similarities between the two.
That both of these two are elite competitors, like at the highest level. And that shows on the tape, you know, the way they extend plays, the way they finish, the way they lead their group. So that's the part. If I was to make a comparison, it would be something intangible like that. Both of them have their own unique ways about them. But in this game, there's all these guys are fantastic competitors. And then, like in most profession, there's the elite, and these two guys are elite at it.
The competition level, like you see it in how they play, the never-say-die attitude on plays, the way they are able to extend and find ways to win with their legs, with their arms, with a combination of the two. So what is it that Jaden Daniels enjoys about watching Lamar, a guy that certainly he's watched plenty of?
Just how he plays the position, whether that's running, throwing, making plays. I know he's a fierce competitor, so I respect that about him.
Simple enough, but it's not like he enjoys all of the comparisons between these two guys for reasons that I think are pretty obvious.
Yeah, I think it's go out there and just appreciate each individual for who they are. So I don't like when people really like try to compare me to Lamar and vice versa. You know, we're two different players. And just go out there, just you know, just appreciate what the quarterback play is being played. So that's what I try to do, is just appreciate everybody for who they are.
I totally respect that because they are different in a lot of ways. I think the thing that is similar, though, that's undeniable, that I'm curious about in this game is they are so, like, what you have to do against them as a defense is similar. Like, you have to rush with such discipline. You have to be able to tackle in space. You have to, you know, be more cognizant and have tougher decisions to make when they roll out as a defensive back. Do I go pursue the quarterback and get ready to go tackle a really fast guy if he runs? Or do I stick on my guy because they can make all these throws off platform? And Jaden has displayed a level of arm strength to make throws that maybe we didn't even think he could. Like, he did not throw a ball 50 yards in the air for a completion in college. He's got two in the last 4 weeks. Like, that is a different, and one of them, by the way, was a 56-yarder rolling out to his right on the run. It wasn't like he set up and loaded. Like, that is a different level of deep ball arm strength than he had previously displayed. And so Lamar can do that kind of stuff as well. They're obviously both so tremendously dangerous if they get out in space. So the way you have to play them in terms of keeping them in the pocket and being super disciplined in your rush lanes is similar. So does either one of these teams benefit from having seen that in training camp? We're still fairly early in the season. The Ravens, you know, for the guys that have been around, have been dealing with that with Lamar in training camp for years. Does that come into play? But they are different. I think Jaden's processing is a little bit better in certain spots. Lamar obviously has an institutional knowledge that is higher than Jaden's, and he uses that to his advantage. Lamar is a better, you know, open field, elusive type of guy. Jaden, you know, straight line speed maybe a little better. I don't know. Lamar's pretty freaking fast in a straight line. But there definitely are some differences in how these guys go about it. And I also understand if you're Jaden, you don't want to be compared to a two-time MVP because you've only played 5 games and you're trying to probably die down the hype just a little bit.
Number two.
All right, number two in our pick six. How about Derrick Henry? He's large. He's in charge. He's very fast. And playing him probably sucks if you're a defensive player or a defensive coach like Dan Quinn.
Well, I think first off, you better have a really good tackling plan, you know, and that's, you know, what, you know, part of his success through the years. Not only like sometimes you see a big back, Nicky, and you just think he's just going to run people over, and he has that part of his game, but he can also stiff arm. We've seen that. And he also has like a really good jab step. So when you're thinking, hey, I'm going to go take my shot at him, he puts a foot in the ground to make you miss. And so that's, to me, what makes, you know, part of his superpower, the ability to have all three ways to stiff arm you, lower a shoulder, and then make you miss. Most, not all the time, but a lot of times the big guys may have, I'm going to run you over, stiff arm, and just play that powerful style. But when you put all, you know, ingredients together, you better have a really good tackling plan. And against a player like that and any good running back, you want to make sure you're having as few a one-man tackles as you can.
Yeah, I would say that you definitely don't want to try to tackle him with one guy. And by the way, if all that wasn't enough, if he makes you miss, he can run away from you. He can run 21, 22 miles an hour away from defensive backs. So the big play ability for Henry. I mean, look at the game last week. He was like 14 carries for, you know, 50 yards or whatever in overtime. And then lo and behold, all of a sudden, 50-yarder sets up game-winning field goal. Ravens win. Avoiding that stiff arm. You don't want to be the guy on the poster. Dan Quinn, any ideas on how to do that?
Yeah, you have to work that technique just like any other, where you have to break a stiff arm down before you enter into the tackle. And but that is one of the things that he does, you know, really well, is, you know, so like going through the scout teams and going through the week and evaluating tape and how do you drill it. Is it the same as playing him live? Like, hell no. Like, there's no one that we have on our team that can simulate him for practice. You know? Yeah, we could, you know, so nobody, but to put it very bluntly, but you can work the technique, and that's what you have to do.
I'm trying to think, who should the Commanders try to have emulate Derrick Henry? Like, do you have, Anthony, do you try to have like, hey, Daron Payne, go stiff arm your teammates? Who's strong enough, big enough, that you feel like you could break down that stiff arm? Luvu?
I was thinking Luvu. I was thinking maybe Jamin because he's fast.
Ooh, Jamin's a good one.
He's fast.
Not a bunch of great answers.
Nah.
Because those dudes aren't used to stiff arming people.
And people, you know, aren't built like Derrick Henry either.
No. And I mean, B-Rob, but
Derrick Henry got a couple of inches on him.
He ain't built like Derrick Henry, because no one's built like Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
You wanna know what's really funny about Derrick Henry and the build stuff and the Commanders? I remember in 2019, my last year on the beat, covering a game at Tennessee, and watching Henry warm up. And I'm pretty sure the guy next to him that was like, I cannot believe those two dudes play the same position, was Jeremy McNichols. And just being like, and McNichols, now we think it was like, McNichols ain't small. He's short. And you will see that when he stands next to Derrick Henry, who's 6'2", 235, runs 22 miles an hour, and will stiff arm you into next week. Not very fun.
It's a little scary.
Not very fun.
Number three.
Also not very fun if you are a rookie quarterback dealing with blitzes. Jaden's actually done quite a bit with it so far. He's done a very, very good job. However, the Ravens maybe taking that up even another level from what Jim Schwartz and company did. How concerning is that for Dan Quinn?
They've got a real identity, you know, and they have for a long time. The way they've, you know, played defense and selected players and, you know, from Ozzie all the way through Eric, and it's been really, really effective. What's happened more, you know, through the last few years is probably more, you know, you're seeing simulated pressures where sometimes it's four-man rush, looks like a blitz, and Baltimore and others, and ourselves included, you know, incorporate some of that to show a blitz, but then play a coverage behind it. And I think as good as the offenses are, you know, you're trying to find every advantage you can. But one thing that's been sure, you know, Zach, he's on it, you know, and as a first-time coordinator to, you know, just – there's a real standard about how they play defense, and not only has he upheld that, he lived it, you know, so there's different, you know, understanding of that, I would think, from his point of view.
Of course, talking about Zach Gore, the Ravens defensive coordinator, but he's not Mike McDonald, and a lot of the pieces that supported Mike McDonald are not there anymore either. So it is something that they are trying to find an identity in Baltimore. I mean, they have the identity. They're trying to find the execution, and he is a play caller. He's trying to find his rhythm. So it's going to be interesting if Cliff Kingsbury can get him a couple times, get some big plays, as this pass defense is rated 31st in the NFL. More of our pick six next, as we will get to some of the more storyline-y type of things, non-football. Is it actually a rivalry? What about the travel? The fact that the Commanders are a road game that really ain't that much further than Ashburn when you compare it to Landover, and all the hype. How are they handling it inside the building? But first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports, brought to you by Wawa. Gotta have a Wawa. Clint Yates joining us coming up at 6:30. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Very important question that we're going to ask Clinton, Anthony. How many more wins do the Commanders need before I get to be on ESPN Daily?
I'm looking forward to this answer, man.
This is what the people must know. All right, what they must know for right now, though, is the other big storylines of the day. It is Pick 6 Part 2. Hit that music. And let's party.
Number four.
All right, number four in our pick six. Is this a rivalry? We know it's a big game, but hey, Beltway, this, D.C., Baltimore. Like, clearly there's something. They're only 30-something miles away, depending on how you calculate it, where you calculate it from. 30, 40. Stadium to stadium, it's like 33, I believe. So, is this actually a rivalry? I will say this before we hear from Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels on this. I would hope it becomes a rivalry because that means both teams are good. The Chiefs and Ravens have become a rivalry. You know, the Patriots and Colts back in the day, rivalry. It'd be sweet if these two teams were playing each other on a more regular basis because they're both winning their division and then they're matching up the next season. So, is this a rivalry? New guy to the equation, Dan Quinn.
You know, for me, first, you know, kind of getting here and getting started, I didn't naturally think of that coming in because of the division and the history of what the NFC East, you know, has been so much with the teams that way. So that was probably the first thing I thought with rivalries with Washington of the NFC East. I think there's always a connection when cities are, you know, closer by, but the fact that we're not in the same division and the same conference, you know, for me, my first, you know, time playing Baltimore as a Commander, my first thought was the East first.
I think that most people would agree. I'd be curious to know what Baltimore folks think. I think probably they would agree that the Bengals and the Steelers, especially the Steelers, would be their biggest rivalry. They enjoy beating up on the Browns because of the history between those two franchises. The fact that obviously Cleveland, the Colts would be that, but like the Browns and Ravens came back into the NFL about the same time. So there's a lot of different stuff to consider there. But I think the geographic closeness plus the quarterback superstar power plus a lot of winning could create a rivalry. What does Jaden Daniels think about the potential of that?
I'm just new here. I mean, that's for other people. I mean, that's for other people to determine. You know, for me, just go out there and be able to play a game, play another game. It's not really any rivalry or stuff like that. Obviously, just this area, the DMV, having two teams within, you know, a certain radius. Obviously, people could look at it as a rivalry, but for us, man, it's just another game.
Look at Jaden dropping the geometry terms. Certain radius. Yeah.
I don't remember the last time I used the word radius.
I don't either. I dropped some word the other day that people were like, dang, that was an SAT word.
Rigmarole?
No, it wasn't rigmarole.
All right.
Anthony just wants to show off the fact that he can spell some very random words. Rigmarole, which doesn't have an A in the middle. It's rigmarole. That's what I learned when Anthony spelled it for me the other
day. Yes, sir.
Learned something new every day. The other day it was how to spell rigmarole. Anyway, the point is, it's not a rivalry yet, but it'd be cool if it became one.
Number five.
That said, there's a ton of attention, of course, on this game. And the social media kind of blow up here this week of, and frankly, the real media blow up. Like NFL Network and ESPN are talking about this game all the time. And it's only going to get louder as the week goes. So, you know, how does Jaden Daniels process the fact that this is with, you know, he'll sit down with Jim Nantz and Tony Romo later this week for their production meeting. It's the number one crew. How does he process the fact that this is the game of the week for the league?
That's for the league to figure out. That's for what the people to talk about. For us, man, we're just going out there and we're just playing a football game. That just happened to be the next opponent up for us. So we're going to focus this week on trying to get better and execute the game plan on Sunday.
That kid is so on it. His ability to just stay here, because like I think some people know they're supposed to say that, especially quarterbacks. Some quarterbacks know that they are supposed to say the right thing. I think he just is like, this is how I think. He's showing up at the facility at the same time, 4 a.m. every single day. He's going through the same work process. He's doing the same stuff. And it's not going to change unless he finds, as he goes, something that he can do better. Or maybe I don't need to do that. I can be a little more efficient with my time. Like, he will refine things over the course of his career, but it's not going to be because, oh, I'm going to show up at 358 this week or 345 this week instead of 4 because it's Ravens week. It's because Tony Romo's on the call. Like, nah, he's got his process, and that's great that he's got that. Dan Quinn probably wishes he had 53 of those guys. How is he handling it with everybody else?
I think what I try to do all the time, Chick, is really as often as we can, we try to make it about us and our improvement and just being absolutely obsessed with trying to get better and how do we play. And so going into the game, what are the things specifically we want to do better and how do we go after it? And knowing that it does come down to us first, that's how we dig in right away, because there's so many things to do before we even get to the game. So like we got to get today great and throw a hell of a Wednesday. And then we'll get into tomorrow and all the process. But I do like the process for every day. Like, today's about our competition, what we do. Tomorrow we talk about the ball. We did a big push on tackling today, breaking tackles. And in last game, we saw that trajectory going in the right way in terms of our times we were able to make somebody miss and how many tackles we missed. And so when that number goes in the ratio that we like, we're making progress. And so we got to continue to do that with the ball. So to be in the minus, you know, for a game is not what we're looking for. So we got plenty of work to do, but we just try to make it about this time. How do we get better? And then we'll take it into the next. And then by the time we get to, you know, the game day, man, we will absolutely let it rip, and it's going to be an awesome environment, but much to do before we get into that environment. So a lot of work to do before it's go time.
A lot of work to do before it's go time. I love Quinn's approach here, because we've all had that, like, we've all had a version of this at work, right? There's something big that's looming, but like, we have so much stuff to do right now, we can't worry about what's happening over there. He's like, I gotta get this done. What do you mean the thing that's happening on Saturday? I'll worry about that on Saturday. And when you're that locked in on Wednesday, that's great. Also, I want to inquire more about the breaking tackle drills and stuff. I think that's cool. I've never heard Coach talk about specific, like, breaking tackles, or obviously coaches talk about tackling. They're doing obviously a fantastic job of teaching it as they've dropped their missed tackles week over week. But when we talked with Inside Access, the afternoon show up in Baltimore at 5 o'clock in our live crossover segment, they talked about how the Ravens aren't doing a very good job tackling this week. So if the Commanders can break a few tackles, perhaps some big plays to be made.
Number six.
Last but not least in our pick six, this road trip that the Commanders are taking is the only road trip they will take in October. They had the home game against Cleveland. They're in Baltimore, which when you go from Ashburn cannot be more than 10 miles further. You have to take a different route, but it cannot be more than 10 miles further than from Ashburn to Baltimore than it is Ashburn to Landover. Like, it is basically the same road trip for these guys, and you know, I'm guessing they'll probably treat it as a road trip, maybe go up there the night before, you know, but they might often go to the team hotel the night before. Maybe they even go to their home team hotel and then just drive up the, you know, whatever version of BW Parkway or 95 they want to take to the game. But point being, they got the one, and then they have the two home games against Carolina and Chicago. Is there an advantage to that, Dan Quinn?
I think there's, you know, looking on it now, it was unusual. And I don't know how many road games I got to go on a bus, you know, to the game. So that's a pretty good gig. We're not, you know, flying from Dulles over to BWI. So going into that and having your time zones into the same spot for a while, I don't know if it's like an advantage, but it's certainly not a disadvantage. You know, when you go on the road and coming back and getting your body clock back into order, that's a big deal. But it helps you on the next week. Sometimes those late nights, 1 a.m., 2 a.m. arrivals, you know, make it more challenging.
That is so huge. It just lets your recovery get off to such a better start, which means your next week is better, you're crisper in practice, and then your game is good. Repeat, repeat, repeat. It's a huge stretch and an important stretch, especially for a team with a late bye, to not take on a bunch of extra stuff as they wait for that reprieve in early December. That's our pick six. Six biggest storylines of the day. You'll hear from Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt at this point tomorrow. Up next, you'll hear from ESPN's Clinton Yates.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. What a show. What a show. If you missed any of it, make sure you check the Hoffman Show podcast. And if you're into podcasts, may I also recommend to you ESPN Daily. You'll find our friend Clinton Yates, who joins us now. And Clinton, I have a very important question for you.
Yeah.
How many more wins do the Commanders need until the Commanders are a big enough story that I get to come on ESPN Daily?
You're making me laugh way too early when I'm on the West Coast. I mean, look, I'm going to say that here's my life situation right now. Okay. Every Sunday morning, I get 2 to 3 dozen texts that say, "When are you coming back to the bandwagon? Blah, blah, blah." And that's not even the point. But the reason why that's important, Craig, is because, dude, pride has returned to the fan base in a way that I haven't seen, quite frankly, since our friend Bob was there. And that was more so just sort of naked, you know, ambition. But this is different. I'm hearing stories about Jaden showing up at the facility at 4 a.m, blase, blah. And I'm just like, okay, this is a real football franchise? Okay. And they have the wins to prove it right now. It's something to be remarked upon. And I will say this, Commanders fans, now is the time to be excited. It is as simple as that. It is just the NFL. Week to week matters. Get pumped.
That's great. You didn't answer the question, and I'm a hardcore journalist. How many more wins do they need? If they beat Baltimore, can I be on ESPN Daily next week? What bigger story are you going
to
have?
If they get to, let's just say they get to something ridiculous like 15 wins, you know what I'm saying?
That's the bar?
Yeah.
What?
Gregory, listen to me. The first time I ever set foot in an NFL stadium at RFK, do you know how many games they won that season?
Let's see. It probably would have been like 10 or 11 sometime.
No, it was 1991, 92, the last time they won everything. Double digits. Okay, we'll rationalize it down to double digits. When they get to double digits, if they get to, then yes.
Okay, how many more wins till John Keim gets to come on? Because he's your colleague, idiot. I'm just kidding.
Okay, all right.
Clint Yates, ESPN, with us here on the Hoffman Show. You can check out ESPN Daily. Also, he's covering all the MLB playoffs. So if you want any playoff baseball, Clint is your guy to go to for that. But, you know, I've tried to talk about this in a way that's not like, you know, savaging other people who don't deserve it, such as the aforementioned Bob Griffin. Like, this is different, right? Jaden Daniels in showing up at the facility at 4 a.m., the adults that are in charge on the coaching staff, the lack of chaos that is coming down from the ownership suite. What was the thing that kind of pushed you over the edge to be like, oh, no, like, this is really different. This is a time where, you know, hey, if you're still looking around trying to find the door to the bandwagon, find it and pull that thing open and get on as fast as you can versus the other upticks in production that they've had sporadically / randomly in the last however many years, 12 years it's been since 2012.
Well, here's the thing. The football is one thing. The vibe is another. And I think that if you can go into a game and you look at a situation like, I don't know, the Cleveland Browns, who have committed gods of money, gabs, whatever, a tons of money to a person who is, you know, we're not going to get into the bad person. We can get into the bad quarterback of it and blow them out 40 burger without necessarily getting off down in distance and off the sticks that much and actually having confidence in the offense based on a rookie who is at the quarterback position. I'm sorry. From a simple morale standpoint, this is huge. Never mind football in the context of what's happening from the plays, but like, yo, this is what people have been waiting for in terms of this is clear and present to see from even somebody who is from the District of Columbia who does not live there anymore. That's a quarterback. And you don't have to get crazy about pumping your chest and popping your jersey and saying, we got a franchise guy, because a franchise guy doesn't matter if you don't win anything. Buffalo, I'm talking to you. What I'm saying is that watchable, likable, dissectable football from Sunday to Sunday is the first step back to respectability. And this team, it doesn't matter how, but they are getting it done. Beating bad teams is what good teams do. That happened last week.
Yeah, and they've beat a couple in a row, and they, not only that have they beaten them, they've beaten them sideways, beaten the brakes off. They're actually the number one offensive team in the NFL scoring. They hadn't gotten 30 points in back-to-back weeks since 2015. They're averaging 31 a game. So, yeah, the offense rolling. Here's another question I have for you, and this is always fun, like when a team can change how you see the sport or see sports in general. And that's kind of happening, not necessarily that it's changing, but it's reinforcing certain things or making me re-examine the weight of certain things. How did you feel about Dan Quinn's hiring and seeing the way that they flipped the script here? How has that thought or changed how you think of NFL head coach hirings if it's changed it at all?
Well, you know what I say all the time is that quarterback is the worst coach position in the league. And the reason I say that is because head coaches, GMs, quarterback coaches, and offensive coordinators oftentimes seem to all be on different, you know, levels in terms of what they think makes sense. We saw this with Bob, not to bring it back up, but the head coach and owner were on two completely different wavelengths, and they ran a Ferrari into the ground trying to prove that, you know, he could be a Toyota Tacoma. In this case, it seems everybody's on the same page. Kingsbury got it moving. Dan Quinn not getting in the way. Sorry, Arizona, that Cliff didn't work out, but it's working out pretty well here. And I mean that in the context of just somebody who watches football. I don't care what team it is. It happens to be the Commanders. It happens to be Daniels. And I think that if nothing else has gone right in this season, wins and losses are one thing. Results are going to happen. But it feels like, at least from where my vantage point is, that there is some cohesion in the unit from a, you know, just a basic game plan standpoint. It helps that it's working. It helps that they play bad teams. You know, the Ravens coming up is a different discussion, but I think that that, in terms of continuity, is a major part of this. Do people like working with each other, and does it produce results? I think the answer to both of those questions are yes, and that alone is remarkable when it comes to what the history of this franchise is.
Yeah, Dan definitely knows ball and like what works and what doesn't, but I think that idea of like these guys like going to work every day. And you're just going to work better when you go to work every day in an atmosphere that's good. And Quinn established that from day one. He brought in, he knew what he was looking for in terms of people. And I would say Dan and Cliff both are guys that weren't their best in previous stops. They made huge mistakes.
Cast-off is the word you're looking for, Gregory. They were both cast-offs who have come together on a raft in the Potomac River. And it's not like it's Washington crossing the Delaware, but, you know, they're getting there in terms of putting the squad together to go into, I know you guys love these terms in this market, to go into battle.
Sure. Clint Yates with us here on the Hoffman Show. Okay, we've reached the portion of the interview, Clinton, where I know you have questions for me because you told me that you do. So what is your weekly Commander's question for Craig, even though you're coming on my show?
So there was a human being named Gambling Partner Slim. He used to come on that station a lot, who happens to be my homeboy. And he was incensed immediately after the game about the 7-point spread. I don't know what the spread is against the Ravens right now. Is it still at 7? Do we have these numbers?
I will look it up as you continue to talk. It was six and a half last time I looked.
6.5. But the point is this. It is entirely possible that the Ravens blow out the Commanders, and that is not a bad loss. I think that is something to understand because there are multiple things at play here. The Ravens are a team that is established and know what they can do. They still have, in my opinion, the best quarterback in the league. I said it with my chest. And if that team, the Commanders, walks into Baltimore and gets popped, okay, bars have been set. There is no reason to be yelling and screaming about the Super Bowl at this point, as much as you can be happy as Commanders fans about the week-to-week stuff. But the Ravens are, dare I say, a real football team right now. This is the real football team test, as far as I'm concerned. Do you agree?
Yes. All in all, I do. Hold on. First of all, you think Lamar's better than Pat, or are you just not counting Pat because he's like an alien?
Lamar Jackson has revolutionized the NFL in the context of you don't need running backs, and they have one. I mean, look, Pat is fine, but I will always tune into the Lamar Jackson show first.
That's fine. Just we can talk about the best in the league versus your favorite, I think. Anyway, we can talk about that. We don't want to get sidetracked. The point is, yes, Baltimore is a big boy football team that has an identity, that has known what they're doing for a long time. They present very specific challenges to Washington in terms of how well they've run the football, with both the quarterback and the running back. And Washington's run defense is still something that I have questions about. But I could see literally the entire range of outcomes. I could see a Baltimore blowout where they just are like, hey, this is a big game. We've played in big games. Most of y'all haven't, outside of like Bobby Wagner. And there's a level of intensity to this that y'all are not familiar with. And it'll be a learning experience for Washington. And ultimately, I think a good thing in the long run, because I actually trust the staff and the players here to make it a good thing. obviously it could be a very close game. Either team wins. The other thing, though, is like Baltimore's pass defense is currently ranked 31st in the league. And the Commanders, they're good at passing the football. Jaden Daniels, good at that. Terry McLaurin, making big plays down the field on the regular the last bunch of weeks. De'Ami Brown finally got loose deep last week. So I could also see a situation where this Commanders' defensive growth is real. They sell out to stop the run. Lamar is kind of spotty. Like, is you know, he finds big plays, but if they can figure out how to cap some of those and then sell out against the run, then they could hold him, you know, and maybe get a couple turnovers. And lo and behold, like the Commanders put up a bunch of points and, you know, the running game becomes irrelevant for Baltimore because they're chasing the game. And I could see a Commanders blowout. Like, was that what I'm picking?
Stop
absolutely.
Stop it, Gregory. You could see a Commanders blowout? Yeah. Are we serious?
Yeah, like, I would put it on the lowest of likely outcomes. I would say, like, okay. close either way is probably the top two. Baltimore blowout, then Washington blowout. But, like, it's not close to 0% because of exactly what I just said. Like, if the problem is run defense and the other team can't stop the pass, if you can make the game flow in a way that they don't feel like they can run the football,
right,
then that could get away from
Baltimore.
They
get out of their system and all of a sudden you're on the front.
And so, like, the fact that we can even have this discussion, though, I think is the larger point, right? Like, the largest point is here is like, oh, it's not crazy to be asking if the Commanders are contenders. Oh, it's not crazy through 5 weeks if you're going to name an MVP list that Jaden Daniels is on it. It's crazy because he's a rookie, but like, it's not like we're outsizing or out, you know, we're not inflating his value. Like, that's what he's been so far. And so that is an ultimately healthy sign. And obviously we hope it sustains and we hope that it continues, you know, and you're still talking about him on Around the Horn in November and December. For right now, like, that's who they've been. And they can
here's the last thing I'll say, Gregory, is that I'll be very honest about this. I thought the Cleveland week was going to be the week of they've got tape on the guy. Typically, after a month to 6 weeks, things change in terms of how you scout players and what they can do and their tendencies and so forth. That didn't work at all. That probably says more about the Browns at this point than it says about the Commanders. But nonetheless, 40 burger in a win matters. I think my last question to you is this, Gregory. What would it take for you to show up, Gen Pop, to just watch football at Northwest Financial Fort Bragg Credit Union, whatever the hell field?
That's a great question because I definitely typically don't do that. Like, I would say this. If I was just a dude living here, didn't have a job that I have,
I would
want to go to a game right now. Like, straight up right now with how entertaining this team is, plus how good they've been. If I had the need to buy a ticket to get to a game versus my season credential that lets me in every game at Northwest Stadium for free and in a press box with food and such, then, yeah, I would be looking at tickets to go to some games coming up soon, for sure. Like, I'm already there. I have a job to do, so I'm gonna do it and get paid as opposed to having to pay.
That to me is always the measure that matters. You're asking a brother that grew up in D.C. that went to RFK. I was there when the seats were jumping. All right, what it would take to get somebody to pay money to watch a game there is really what the only real threshold is that matters, because you know that's the soul of the franchise, and that is something that even though I do not necessarily aspire to anymore, I still do respect.
Well, then let's change the question from when do I get on ESPN Daily to if they win double digit games, will you come back and you and I will go Gen Pop to a game together?
Gen Pop ain't happening, but I will come back to go to a game if they get to double digit wins.
Okay.
I will absolutely do that, Gregory.
All right, excellent. We'll have our people be in touch, we'll text about it. Clint Yates, everybody. Watch him on Around the Horn, ESPN Daily for the pod, and then check out all the coverage at Clint Yates on Twitter of the Major League Baseball playoffs. And we will talk to you again next week, sir. Thank you.
Absolutely. The press box food at Petco Park, not great.
Oof. Yikes. It's Hoffman Show wrapping up here on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. What a show, Ian. What a show it was.
Man, a hell of a show. Hell of a show.
First ever live crossover. That was big time. We went live at 5 with our friends up in Baltimore on Inside Access, their afternoon show, 105.7 The Fan. We had Clinton Yates. We had Ben Solak from ESPN. You heard from Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn. And we got some pretty good things and real things. Tomorrow on the show, De'Ami Brown to start at 4 o'clock. So if you are like, well, this is the time I listen, I'm still working at 4 o'clock. Rewind feature on the Odyssey app, podcast, YouTube rewind, you know, we'll put it on YouTube as a clip at Craig Hoffman and at the team 980. So no matter when it is that you typically tune in, you can find that De'Ami Brown interview if you are remotely coherent and navigating the internet, which it's 2024. If you're not, I think you got bigger problems than not being able to find the De'Ami Brown interview, you know, Ant?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Anything else tomorrow? It's Never Read the Comments Thursday. Cliff and Joe talk. Anything else? Dan Pizzuta.
Dan Pizzuta. Never Read the Comments.
Do we have someone for 5 o'clock tomorrow?
No, we do not. It's tentative. We don't know if it's going to be Thursday, Friday.
Oh, yeah. Working on some big stuff.
Yeah.
Also, Kime said he wanted to come back on soon. So we might fire a John Kime bullet tomorrow.
Okay.
That's why you just got to stay tuned, you know?
Yes, sir.
And then at the end of the show, we have fun.
Real things.
We're not going to be sold this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
That's a due time, Anthony. Don't know we've ever ended the show then before.
It is. It was a surprise to me. I was taken aback a little bit.
Yeah, you really were struggling there with the math.
Yeah.
Sometimes that math just not be mathing.
Nope.
You know it does math? $3 drinks. Even if you made as much money as Caitlin Clark has the last year. Caitlin and her teammate for the Fever, Lexi Hull, in a drive-thru line, shockingly got discovered.
This is good.
Do the raspberry dream with vanilla cream instead of coconut cream? No, please. And then can I do the summer splash also?
Can I get the spring fling with vanilla cream instead of coconut cream? Can I have the beach wave too, please?
You're Caitlin Clark, right?
Maybe.
Yep. Park that out, please.
We'll skip over that. Beach wave? Since the summer splash.
Try the goods.
You can mix it up, kind of, maybe.
Hey, these are healthy, right?
No, but they are only $3. I love a bargain.
This isn't as good. This would be good on like a summer day.
Agreed.
Healthy, refreshing.
Mine is not healthy at all.
No, those drinks just sound like they are sugar and ice, Anthony. I don't know where they went. I don't know what they were hoping for. Caitlin seemed to be she's like, yeah, I got State Farm money, but I like a bargain.
Gotta love a bargain, man. Gotta love a bargain.
Love a bargain.
You are you a sugary drinker?
No, like only to a point. I feel like that's a thing that when you're a kid, you can just tolerate so much sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to a point as an adult, and you remember your parents saying this as a kid, and then all of a sudden you get there as an adult, and you're like, I get it now, but does that make me a loser? Where you're just like, that's a little too sweet for me. Like as a kid, you could just eat sugar.
Yeah.
Like if you have candy that you liked as a kid and you haven't had it in 20 years, go back and try it. You know what's going to happen? It's probably going to suck and you're going to go, this is too sweet. I used to like this. And you know why? Because you were a child. And as a child, you can just ingest sugar and it doesn't matter. You're like, ooh, this is good. And then you bounce off the walls and annoy the mess out of your parents. As an adult, you're like, oh. It's almost like your brain knows you have responsibilities and you can't handle that anymore.
Yeah, I tend to, get a sugar rush when I go back and try some sweets or candy that I know I shouldn't be having.
Yeah.
But sometimes I can't resist the urge.
I mean, there's some of that stuff, like, I don't know, anything that's now dairy, I can't have anyway. So it's like your M&Ms and things like that, like, I can't even have those. So that's the life I lead, Anthony.
I know, I hate that for you, man.
Not the life I deserve.
Nope.
That's right. You all deserve another show tomorrow, so we're going to give it to you. See you then.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.